Good evening and welcome everybody. I would like to, I think we had a first quarter that need some explanations, and that in fact when you will hear the motivation on the numbers, you will understand that this quarter we consider at the end quite positive. We have suffered from some negative effect from the currency that have impacted on our first line for around 70%, and I would say worldwide we have suffered from a decision coming from our main customers to postpone the back to school season for a couple of reasons mainly. One is because we had the Easter holidays at the end of March, so all the big customers have decided to focus on back to school later on. And in fact, we are experiencing a very strong second quarter. And also because due to the competition of Amazon, we see that our customers are trying to dedicate less time to every different business in order to speed up the rotation of the product. So in fact, what we can see today is that if we split into the first line of Fila Group, we have seen an interesting growth in the fine art business that in fact show a reduction, but in reality it has been a good first quarter, because last year at the 31st of March we ended the contract, distribution contract of Arsh paper, and this contract had an impact around between 6% and 7% on global turnover of fine art. So if we take out the fact that this year we don't have any more Arsh, we see a nice growth of the fine art business in the area of 4%. This to say that all the delay is related to school business, and frankly speaking, we do not have a negative sign on the school business, but simply a seasonal effect. As you know, our peak season is quite important, because north of Ecuador, all the schools open at the end of August or early September. And if you recall, last year the second quarter was north of 140 million, probably close to 145 million euro, so much more important than the first quarter. Last but not least, last year, you remember, we were managing the transition of the logistic transition in the United States. So, in fact, last year we asked customers to anticipate some orders in order to free space in our central warehouse. I don't want to go back to the problem of last year that seems now we have solved, but clearly I think it's unfair to compare, I would say, pure numbers of this first quarter, simply because last year we had important orders that came in-house during the month of March, and this year the same orders with slight improvement are entering during the months of April and May. So at the end, in order to summarize, because this is important, we in this moment we have absolutely no sign or evidence that the year is different from what we have always said, also in the other calls, because the sellout of our product is in line, and again the numbers are impacted by seasonal orders from big customers. There is another effect, in this case positive, which is the profitability of the business. Despite we had a substantial decrease of turnover, because from a almost 11% decrease is a substantial amount, you probably have noticed that our EBITDA just had a slight reduction, while we had an interesting increase in percentage. This, I think, should be read in a positive way, because the percentage of EBITDA is absolutely in line with the expectations for year 2018. And let me remind you that last year, the second quarter, we started suffering a lot from extraordinary costs. And of course, we had also to deal with the problems of turnover. So the fact that the EBITDA, despite this first quarter has been affected by a slowdown, the fact that the EBITDA continue improving should confirm that our strategy to clean a little bit our portfolio, this also has affected a little bit the first line. Our strategy to clean the first line, to look for a better profitability, I think is confirmed. Let me remind you also that the feature of our business, both business, fine art and school, generally are considered marginal business. So clearly we cannot manage temporary swing from one quarter to the other. But generally speaking, as you have experienced, there are small movement in the top line. So I think this, as you know, our business in terms of sellout is almost stable. We really can explain this slowdown only with a temporary problem. Going to the net financial position, I think you have seen the numbers that show a slight improvement, which again is in line with our expectation. Of course, you have noticed that we have had a substantial amount of cash in, so customers have paid us as we expected, as we expected during months of December and January. Of course, the fact that we have not invoiced the goods that we have in the warehouse, but we are going to invoice during months of April and May, clearly has generated an increase in inventory. Again, a temporary effect. But in terms of percentage, we have gained 3 percentage points from 52% to roughly 49% of total working capital. As you remember, we have announced a substantial improvement this year that we confirm, also because we are already in the mid of May, and fortunately we can announce a more than acceptable to a good level of service with customers. So we expect that all the extraordinary problems we had last year now will not happen. So we can expect a more stable year in terms of budget, actual, and expectation as the level of service is acceptable for our customers. So I think that I leave you to the Q&A session okay. I leave the second part of the presentation to Stefano before the Q&A session, that I imagine will be quite intense. So Stefano will describe more in detail some figures, and then we will be ready to answer.
Okay, thanks Massimo, and good evening to everybody. I think that you touch all the main point of my presentation. Anyway, I ask to everybody to go to page 4, just to have a short view of the trend of the core business sales. Core business sales close to a value of 104.8 million, so with a decrease of 12.8 million compared to the previous quarter of the 2017, that means less 10.9%. And in this case, it's very important to analyze the real organic slowdown decrease, because we have a very important effect due to the negative FX forex exchange. This value is negative for 7.5 million. We mainly refer to the USA area, but also to the Central South America, Asia, and Europe. All the main currency are devaluated compared to the euro. And another effect that affect our numbers in 2008 is the effect of the change of accounting principle due to IFRS 15 that affect our sales for 1 million negative impact, mainly referred to the Europe area. So considering these two main effects, the organic decrease is equal to negative 4.4 million, that means less 3.7%. This organic decrease is mainly located to the geographic, the Europe geographic area for negative 4.5 million, may refer to Canton France and Italy. Then the other decrease, organic decrease, is referred to the North America area, less 1.5 million. The other countries amount negative for 0.3 million is referred mainly to Australia. And these negative variances are partially offset by the increase of revenue in Central South America, mainly referred to Chile, Argentina, and Brazil, and Asia for 1 million, mainly referred to India, but for us a residual part to our Fine Art Chinese subsidiary that we have in China. Talking to the product line, just to confirm what Massimo said, the main decrease is in the school and office area for 3.8 million. The fine art hobby digital is negative for 0.7 million, but neutralizing or normalizing from the arch effect, this variance is positive and show an increase of approximately 3%, as Massimo said, compared to the negative 1.9% it is show in the number, in the presentation. Industrial is more or less flat. If you go to page 5, we can analyze the trend of the EBITDA, EBITDA. The EBITDA, normalized EBITDA, in the first quarter 2018 closed with a value of 16.2 million compared to 17.1 million of 2017. This means a decrease of 0.9 million, less 5.3%. Also here we have to analyze the effect of the FX effect and the IFRS 15 effect. The IFRS 15 effect is equal to 0.1 million, and the FX effect, as we normally say, that is really low is equal to negative 0.2 million, that is less than 1% on impact on the EBITDA, because as we say, we have a natural aging on our numbers, on our margin. And the effects are more or less similar that we see for the revenue. Of course, the big difference is due to the renminbi, because the valuation created a benefit in the margin, and also due to the GBP effect, because the devaluation created benefit in the margin being short in this currency. The extraordinary cost that caused a normalization on the EBITDA in 2018 are mainly refer to the cost that we had in January for the refinance, the amendment of the current M&A acquisition financing that is in place, because we just reviewed the condition and we renegotiated the agreement with the banks. Going to page 6, you can see that the adjusted net income is equal to 4.8 million compared to 5.7 million of 2017. The difference is negative for 0.9 million. Amortization, depreciation are in line. We had a worse financial result, mainly due to the negative financial FX effect in the area of USA, Russia, and Turkey mainly. And this negative effect was totally compensated by the savings that we had in tax, mainly in the USA area and in France, France area. So these two effects are neutral together. If we analyze the net financial position, the comparison to December, of course, show a net debt increase equal to 30.3 million. That is normal for our seasonal effect that we have in this part of the year. Last year, the cash absorption was equal to 32.4 million. So this year we had an improvement in the cash absorption in the first quarter. Just to analyze the composition, the reason of this 30.3 million, the operating cash flow was equal to negative 23.4 million, that again is normal for us in this period. We had capex for 3.5 million, mainly referred to capex investment in India and in UK and Mexico, and some cash out for the SAP licenses. Then we had the interest paid for 2.4 million, mainly referred to FILA for 1 million, and for the remaining part of the amount to Mexico and USA and other subsidiaries. The negative FX effect was equal to 0.9. Just to, again, to compare the two-quarter cash flow, we can confirm that the cash absorption was less in this quarter compared to the first quarter of 2017, and we had also a better ratio of the net working capital for business sales compared to the first quarter of the previous year of approximately 3%. What we had, and as we explained in December, we had a good improvement in the receivable, because the cash absorption, the receivable were less compared to the previous year. This effect, positive effect, was a little compensated by the inventory increase due to the slowdown of sales, and also to the increase that we had this year, as we said also in the past month, due to all the projects that we had, in particular for the central hub. So I think that now we can let space to any for the Q&A section.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. The first question is from Daniele Alibrandi of Intermonte SIM. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello Massimo and Stefano, and thanks for taking my question. I've got actually a few. Organic growth, the first one, organic growth we saw was sequentially weaker in the quarter. I appreciate your commentary on what drove this weakness, but could you maybe comment if you have seen some differences in the speeds throughout the different months, and maybe if you can add some colors on April and May trends? My second question is on profitability. I appreciate the work you've done on cost control despite the top line drag in Q1. Should we expect an acceleration of profitability as soon as Q2, or will it be more second half weighted? I got actually other two questions, but they are on the recent acquisition of Pacon, if I may. The first one is that the last call you guided for around 4 million cost savings. Then we've read on newspapers that cost synergies could be even in the range of 5 to 7 million. So can we assume that the 4 million is the worst case scenario? And my last question is on the timing of the closure. I appreciate you've given out the expected clearing of U.S. antitrust by mid-July, but when do you expect the closing and the timing of the right issue? Thanks very much.
Thank you for your question. Excuse me. Probably I will ask you to repeat. Okay. Concerning the organic growth, as I said. The numbers after you analyze are better than what they say, because where we do not have season, which is the fine art, we are growing in the area of 3-4%. I remember you that the fine art seasonality start from September until November. So there we do not have any negative effect of orders flow coming from customers. So this is, I think, a very positive information. School, again, the only month that probably was extremely slow was January, but I would like to remember you that we announced publicly that in January we had the transition to SAP. So, in fact, we have asked during the month of December, especially to the customer related to the companies that were involved in SAP transition. Let me remember you that these companies are Canson France and Maineri for Fine Art. And if you analyze the detail, Canson France and Maineri are really the company that are suffering more in terms of turnover, not because we are having special issue with SAP, but when we went live, we had a slowdown of the ordinary activity. And of course, the slowdown is considered normal, and in this moment, we are back on track. So clearly, month of January, when we have asked customer to let's say place more orders in order all of us to be in the safe side, January clearly has been extremely, extremely weak. Then the month of February and March, as you asked specifically about organic growth, I can give you some colors. For example, in Italy, after 12 months of negative sell-out in the modern channels, because I remember you that we don't have statistics of the wholesalers, the first positive bimester of sell-out of our product has been March and April. So I think that you know that Italy is experiencing a difficult trend of the economy, but March and April are looking positive. In United States, as you know, all the business of the school is made with the first 10 customers, and when the first two, in particular Walmart and Michaels, have decided to place the orders in April instead of March, clearly March have suffered of $3 or $4 million. What do we expect? We expect what happened in April. April was a month, I would say, stable compared to last year. May is extremely strong. And we expect June also to be extremely strong. What does it mean in terms of numbers? That in May, probably, we will not only compensate the delay, but we will go back to the normal situation. And again, I would like to remember that June, July, we could have some effect of orders at the end of June or early July. But the situation, I would say, with the end of May will be absolutely in line with our expectation. I don't recall the second question, sorry.
It was related to the profitability.
The profitability, I think, is giving us very positive signs because we are a seasonal business, but not only seasonal. We are a very traditional business. So clearly, customers do not have any concern in building up stock. So. What is important, I think, is that we are coherent with what we always said, that we are recuperating profitability, and I think this will continue because I would like to remember that in April we have shut down a plant in UK. It's done, but as you can imagine, if you shut down a plant in April, of course, the level of inventory at the end of March is not efficient. But I think we have said this already many times. And also, the fact that we have had a swing in the turnover from March to April and May, clearly we need to have the stock if we want to deliver the second quarter that I remember last year was 143 million euro. So this year we expect a substantial growth. So if we want to deliver 150 million at least, our inventory clearly has to be ready to deliver such performance. So in other words, the second quarter will be much higher than the first quarter. We are talking almost one third. The profitability, I think, it's in line or even a little bit better than our expectation. I think the only thing I would like to highlight is that it's absolutely in line with the expectation of the full year. So if we have been able to absorb this slowdown of the turnover and keeping the level of the EBITDA, from my point of view, it means simply what we have always said. Last year, we were working with a lot of inefficiencies. You remember extraordinary costs, multiple warehouses, we have closed a plant in October in China. So all these efficiencies are coming out with this profitability that is clearly improving. What was the third question?
Sorry. The third question was related to savings on the PICON.
Oh yeah, the savings on PICON. I think that what the newspaper has written is more accurate. But as we have some reorganization, restructuration of the company, we are bound to some kind of confidentiality, because I don't think it's not in our best interest to put on the table all the area of savings, but it is important. I think it's a good job to compare the figures of Paycon to our figures in North America. So they are 75% school. We are probably 60% school. We already mentioned that their working capital is almost half than our, which means that we have reasonable, very good space to improve. I can say that we have 100% customers in common, which means that we are going to find synergies from customer service to sales organization, to the operation, and the supply chain. I think that what we announced as 4 million clearly is a conservative assumption, but we are going now to enter into many details, and maybe during the next meeting we can be more precise. We are bound by this contract, for example, so even if I close a building, I'm not sure I can save the lease the following month. Maybe I need time to get rid of the building or to close the contract. So this is the reason why we have been conservative. Last question, the timing of the closing. We expect, we have asked.
Hello, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Going to the last question, the timing of the closing, we expect that we have asked for the quick procedure. Don't see relevant risk from the antitrust point of view. If not, the standard procedure takes 1 month, and if they decide to go to the second phase, this will take up to 6 months. So, in other words, the most realistic scenario is that we are going to close the deal before the end of June.
Okay. Thanks very much.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. So the first one is about your feeling, how is going the business with the new ERP system that you are in place now with the Council Europe and Mamery, just to have your feeling of this new structure that we have in Europe. My second question is about back to EBITDA or consensus for the year. So taking into account this back and loaded start and potential inefficiencies that you could not experience in the second quarter, third quarter, I would like to ask you if you think that the current consensus at 86, 87 million of EBITDA for the full year is still reasonable with some organic growth from top line, and what are the main drivers for the next quarters. I would like to better understand the business that you are experiencing in North America that was negative. You said about the reasons, but I would like to better understand the underlying markets, what are you seeing in the markets, and so on. Thank you.
Thanks, Alessandro. I don't want to appear arrogant, but frankly speaking, SAP system in this moment in our company, we have not even had the first feeling of having implemented SAP, because the problem of the ERP system is that we need to have all the companies in SAP in order to reach what target we need. We need to reach a target of a clear planning to control the planning of the 40 subsidiaries around the world and to keep under control the prices. And this is a main problem now that Amazon is growing all around the world, because if you don't have a consistent price strategy, they start moving product in the different countries. So it is utmost important to have one ERP system. The fact that we have gone live with Maineri and Canson France, in terms of business, it's exactly where we were before, because we were before in a different system that was not talking with Fila, and Canson France was not talking with Fila before and is not talking with Fila for a few months more, because Fila is not yet in SAP. So the fact that we had a positive implementation makes us comfortable that we can, for example, maintain the go live of the central warehouse in Europe from the 1st of July, and that we can start have at least a central Europe in one common system. But it's a long step. I think we will see the advantage of being in SAP, I think, in 2 years.
A couple of years.
Because in this moment, we simply have SAP in two companies that are not connected with the others.
Mm.
So in terms of advantage, it's an investment. It's a necessary and compulsory investment to manage a complicated business like it is our business that is globalized. If we want to hit, let's say, not the 25% working capital of Tekla, because I think it's a dream as they are in a single country, but if we want to hit the target that we have given to the market, we have to be in SAP. please, let me remember you that when we have sold the target of 2018, this was not related to SAP. This was related to the fact that we shut down warehouses.
Mm.
And we have shut down a plant last month and another plant in the last quarter of last year in China and 2 months before in Brazil. All these plants have generated artificial high inventory, and that and the shutdown of the warehouses in the next few months will allow us to reduce the working capital.
Mm.
Not because of the effect of SAP. The effect of SAP will be the further improvement coming from 2019. And by the way, to be clear, we fully confirm the target that we have communicated for working capital in 2018.
Mm.
We fully confirm.
Okay. Clear.
Okay, the second question was USA. But, you know, I think that in 1 month we will probably see the things as we see now, because in 2017 we have an extraordinary first quarter. I remember your comment that you were surprised by the fact the quarter was very strong. In fact, especially because we are not on SAP, so when you just ask to your operative people, guys, we need space in the warehouse to integrate Fine Art, of course they have pushed orders. But this is just a swing between one quarter and the other. This year it is happening exactly the opposite of last year, because we did not need any special effort from the customer. So we didn't push for anything. We are simply receiving orders, and we simply deliver when customers expect the product. In this moment, we see a very good trend in the United States in the schools. So if you ask specifically, how do I see the school this year? I see the school very well, so positive, growing, and the school is 100% responsible of this delay. I have some more doubt about fine art that, despite this, is growing, because fine art, last year, we have created problems to all the customers in the United States. So in this moment, we are trying to regain trust and credibility. So fine art is a little bit more unstable. Clearly, the acquisition that we have announced is giving us a great image and is not allowing the customers to take negative decision against us because they were uncomfortable last year with us. So clearly, I see this as extremely positive. But stationery itself, we see a lot of nice projects with customers. We see good sell-out in the market. So there is not one single reason why the school business should not perform as expected. When you talk about the expected EBITDA, because of course, as you ask me, but it's also my priority number one, I would like to remember that last year we have been we closed the year in the area of 80 to 81 million euro EBITDA. So I would like to remember you that last year we had at least two heavy impacts. One, extraordinary cost in the area of 2 million of manpower in the warehouse. And we had all the month of July and almost the entire month of August with no invoicing in UK for the transition to the central warehouse and the problem related to the system. And this we have evaluated in the area of 1.2, 1.3 million EBITDA pound. So if you add these two numbers to our former EBITDA, we are already at almost 84 million. This is mathematically. So your expectation in terms of EBITDA, I think, is absolutely realistic because it means that we should guarantee a growth in the area of 2 to 3% organic growth. And I think you will see this already in June, so 1 month from now. I don't have any single reason to think that the year will not perform as expected. And I would like to remember you that we had a plant very inefficient open until last month in UK, finally now closed. So from now on, we are going to have savings and we are going to reduce the working capital related to this because Kenson France has increased the stock to produce to supply UK. And from the 1st of July, we are going to have the central warehouse fulfilled that will start deliver all throughout European central Europe. What we do not expect is an advantage from cross sales, because if I were a customer of Fila, I would not bet immediately that we are going to have a perfect service. So as we are asking them to make some strategic decision, clearly the central warehouse is absolutely compulsory to start sitting down and build up a different future with our customers. But we did not put neither in the budget, because if we go back to what I said before, we take out the extraordinary cost, we just use a couple of million EBITDA. So at the budget level, we have not put any euro of cross sales from the central warehouse. So okay. Our budget and your expectation, I think it was fair. We always said that 2017 and 2018 was the transition years, also to hit the targeted numbers of working capital. I think today we can absolutely confirm, because we have been, we have been conservative in our best estimation. As we have been conservative, I don't see any reason why we should not hit those numbers.
Okay, so it's thank you. Very clear, Massimo.
Thank you.
The next question.
Sorry, Alessandro, because Francesca, remember me, you asked the main driver of the next quarter.
Mm.
The main driver, you know, we have seasonality, we have view of what is going on normally in the first 6 months. So what I can anticipate to you that at the end of June there will be no surprises, because having seasonality, the customers do not work on a monthly basis, they work on a trimester basis, on a quarter basis. So we have already the view of what will happen until June, and I can anticipate a good first semester in line with expectations. So what will happen in the second semester depends a little bit on the sell-out of the schools. So where are the area of, let's say, potential difficulties? Mexico with the elections, but I really hope that schools will not be affected. And I don't see other potential negative effect, because even if Trump changes the duty rate strategy, this will not affect for sure our back to school.
Mm-hmm.
So the driver of this second quarter are already in house are the orders. Normally the reorders are related to the level of sales in the schools. We don't expect anything particular. In fine art, we will start see the seasonality that I remember is around September to November. In this moment, fine art is doing pretty well, because if we clean from first quarter of last year the ARCH impact, fine art is growing as expected. So if fine art continue this trend, that this will contribute to our global target of 87 million, more or less. So I think that from now on we expect a normal year.
Okay, many thanks.
The next question is from Pierre Castella of GMP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi there. Just a quick question. It's regarding your costs of goods sold. It went down year on year by a whopping 23% in this first quarter. How do you explain that? And I was expecting the business of pens and pencil to be a bit less volatile than that. Could you give me a little bit of light of what's going on in there? Thank you.
Okay, I will start to answer, maybe then Massimo can integrate my answer. So we had a strong improvement in the cost of sales, because we had a strong improvement in the production efficiency, in particular in China, where we had a special process. Just to give you an example of the water lacquering. Okay, that Massimo can explain better than me, that was put in place last year and now is totally efficient. Also, the plants are working with more order, and also in Mexico there is more efficiency compared to the previous year. In the UK, as we explained, last year was not a good year, just the transition that these subsidiary experimented, and this year, of course, is totally working without inefficiency. Brazil, if you remember, we did a merger last year, and we put a very efficient company, Council Brazil, with our school subsidiary, Lysine, that was not so efficient production, and now standalone, of course. And also Canson France now is working 100%, let's say, just an approximation of production capacity with all the transfer production that we did. So all these effects combine, improve a lot the cost of sales incidence.
Yeah, to give a little bit more flavor, last year we didn't highlight this not in order not to go too much in details, because last year at the end was a good year. So, but we have launched a project to use the water-based lacquer in the pencils. China is the first plant in the world using water-based lacquer. You know that in China there are big problems of pollutions. So we have decided that this was strategic. We have not communicated to the market yet because India and Mexico are not yet ready. This process, which is very complicated to be implemented in a plant, has generated almost $1 million of extraordinary cost last year. Now the learning curve is flat, the production is improving a lot, the productivity is improving a lot. This has clearly reduced substantially, especially on a trimester base, on a quarterly base, substantially our cost. The same we can say for the wood. In the year 2015 and 16, there was a substantial growth in pencil market, and thus the cost of the wood was increased a lot. This year we are experiencing a reduction of the average cost of the wood beyond our expectation. This is also influencing positively our margins. Last but not least, you remember that we have gone from outsource, so to insource the paper of Dehler. Dehler was buying from Fabriano their paper, and now they buy from Canson. And Canson itself was buying from a Swedish competitor, and now they buy the watercolor paper from St. Cuthbert, that is inside the group. So both these processes have been finalized between November and February 2018, November 2017 and February 2018. All this is generating a important cost reduction that, by the way, we will see again with Pacon. So it's a process. I think that the company is, the group is heavily reducing the break-even point, shutting down plants, shutting down warehouses, and the clear demonstration is the fact that despite we see temporary reduction of the turnover, you see an improvement in EBITDA. So we are working hard toward the reduction of our break-even point that clearly will help us in generating the expected EBITDA at the end of the year.
Can I just follow up on that with another question still related to the cost of raw materials? It's on page 8 of your presentation. It's a gain of more than 500 basis points. How am I to sort of look at that going forward? I mean, this 35.2% of sales that you achieved in the first quarter, is it a number that you will continue to improve on? Is it a number that is extraordinary, exceptional? And how would you describe it, if I may? Thank you.
I think it's a good question. Let me remind you what I always told in the last 12 months, because this is a percentage. So it is dangerous to read the percentage itself. If you remember, I always told you that both Dehler and Canson when they were independent, they were looking for the last 10% turnover. In other words, they were generating a lot of inefficiency in their commercial strategy. We have been extremely tough. We have given the customer the chance or to take a price increase or to give up turnover. If you see the split of the turnover in the first quarter, the company that has suffered more in terms of turnover is Canson France, because we have heavily reduced certain customers. So, in fact, we are substantially improving the profitability of the group. Why? Because not only Daler, but also Pacon need high value paper. And I can anticipate to you that Canson will not be able to satisfy 100% of the needs of the group. So it would be stupid to continue supply customer with low profitability. So this percentage, and again it's a percentage that you have to cross with a turnover that is less growing, of course, if you clean, is a percentage that we want to keep because we look for efficiency in the medium term. But I have always said that we are going to move turnover from low profit to high profit, and in order not to lose global profitability, we have to weight the volume of Daler and the volume of Pacon in-house, because Pacon outsource everything because they don't produce paper, and it's a process. So the fact that we are improving EBITDA in percentage, I think, is coherent with our strategy. Imagine if we were here talking of a turnover growing 2-3%, the EBITDA probably would have grown double digit this year. I think it's just a matter of waiting that our turnover will go back to what we expect.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Giorgio Martorelli of Amber Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to better understand your the message you are giving us in terms of better months in May and June. I see this is a seasonal business, so it doesn't make any sense to look at monthly performance. But are you saying that May standalone performance is offsetting the negative organic growth we had in the first quarter? So at the end of May, beginning of June, we should recover the drop in revenues, organic revenues, we experienced in the first 3 months of the year? This is the first question. And the second question, if you give us, if you can give us, color feeling of how your new acquired company in the U.S. is performing, if the market in U.S., which is becoming your most relevant market, is doing well or not, and what are you expecting for them in terms of sales, organic sales growth in 2018. You will clearly consolidate this business only in second half, but if you have visibility, I will be pleased to share this visibility with you. Thanks.
Giorgio, thanks for your question. The first question is very simple, and the answer is yes, under the condition that you don't ask me to predict the currency exchange. In other words, if there will be a drop.
No, I'm talking about organic growth. The effects are something we cannot control.
Absolutely, yes. And by the way, in order to be clear, if in June we have problems, we cannot solve the problems in the second semester. So I want to be very transparent. There are no possibility in our business, if you miss the target in June, that you cannot do anything before December to compensate the problems. So I really expect June to be absolutely in line with our target, because I see May doing extremely well. I see the order of June absolutely in line with our expectation. So I see June being in track with your expectation. And by the way, this is valid also for the future. And let me add one point. If you will see a second semester much stronger than the second quarter much stronger than the second quarter of last year, this does not mean that is a trend, because last year we had many problems in the second quarter. So we are going, the year anyway will be balanced. It's just a swing between a quarter with the other, as unfortunately or fortunately, we have a very high seasonality effect. Anyway, I repeat, yes, at the end of June we will be on track. Concerning Tecon, I would say the company in this moment compared to us in North America is performing a little bit better than us. Their end of April EBITDA is 3% higher than last year, which is good. Why they are performing better? Let me say that they did not receive the shock that we received last year from the management in the United States. I think we have done a good job to recuperate, but anyway, it was a shock because we had to pay fines. We had to pay, by the way, yes, we forgot fines, but we have been hurt by fines in this quarter, first quarter, due to last year's service, I forgot to mention. But clearly that company is stable. The business in the school, which is in common with our business, is growing low single digit in the area of 2-3%. At the end of April, they are growing 2-3% in EBITDA. They have not yet integrated the last acquisition, which, by the way, it's a very interesting acquisition with an EBITDA on top of 20%, so more than 20%. They have not yet integrated because they prefer to see the integration with us in order not to make activity that could be then denied or changed again. Their expectation for the year is a low single-digit growth. I think their portfolio already confirmed that their June will be in line. The company is much more stable than us. They don't have transition in the system, not to find excuses. Our system is a big liability today for us. Our system is not working properly in the United States. We have mistakes in calculating MDF, which is the bonus at the end of the year that we pay to the customers. There are mistakes in invoicing. So our company is a little, we work maybe with better margin than them, but we have still a little bit of inefficiency in our system. They have very nice cruise speed, and they are proceeding as expected.
Okay, and, thanks very much.
And by the way, when I say as expected, I mean their cash generation, which is very strong. As in the price adjustment, we needed to have their estimation of the working capital. I can already anticipate to you that is absolutely in line with last year. And the EBITDA is growing 3%. So I think we have been good and fortunate that we have done this acquisition.
Thanks.
There is no question at the moment. The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
So just a very quick question. So we were talking about Pacon, so the new acquisition. So that's I would like to better understand. So the fact that they have a very good margin. So we are talking about a 16% EBITDA margin, close to yours. That you are a champion in the market for margins. So but this company doesn't internalize production, so I would expect a much lower margin than yours. You said that their systems are better than yours, but what are basically other reasons for this such a very good margin? Probably one single country, but if you can add more, is helpful. Thank you.
Ale, I think the question is absolutely correct, because on myself I have thought a lot about this. Let me tell you, I think we could discuss 1 hour about this, but let me give you some elements. If you take the average profitability of Canson and Deller, that I remember you, we acquired a little bit more than 1 year ago. And I prefer to repeat because sometimes the memory does not give justice. Canson had 10% profitability before losing Arches deal, which means that Canson had 7% profitability and Deller had 9 to 10%. I will anticipate to you an extraordinary positive result in UK by Deller. So those companies, we have integrated companies with a profitability that was much lower than ours. They are in one country, and when we are Italian, so we have to go abroad, and we have opened in the last 3 years, let's say 10 subsidiaries, but could be 12 or 9, I don't recall exactly. All of them are, for the first time in the history, all positive or breaking even this first quarter 2018. I have not seen red numbers for the first time in my career. This is a process. So when you have 8, 9, 10 subsidiaries that have to start and absorb Canson and absorb Deller, of course it's a process. So here again, the profitability is affected. And then, last but not least, we are in India, in China, and in Mexico. We think that there is a little bit of country risk from a commercial war, from health problems related to illness, or whatever duty policy from different countries. So we have duplication of our plant in China, India, and Mexico. They produce exactly the same product because we want to be ready to switch in any moment. This, I have never calculated, has inefficiencies, because in every plant we do not have the best economy of scale. But I always say FILA has a very consistent strategy. FILA does not target the profit of the quarter or of a single year. FILA targets the profit in medium long term. We have still today 4 warehouses in Europe, and we are going to go to 1 warehouse. They are already in this situation, which means that we have 4 responsible of the warehouse, 4 level of stock, and workers in Germany, for example, that has an hourly cost that is much higher than the cost in the United States. So what I think is that they are a company absolutely perfectly managed. I think that if we take out our inefficiencies, probably they are in the area of 16%. Probably we are more in the area of 18+%. So just 2 points maybe do not justify the problems of the supply chain, for example, in the paper. Let's talk about paper business in which they are. But what kind of value you give, for example, to the risk that their supplier start supplying their competitor, for example, which cannot happen with us. And it's something we are discussing, because their supplier, as we are moving paper to Camson, their supplier could start producing some of our competitors. It's something that we are considering, and I can anticipate to you, we don't consider this a major risk, because they don't have our brand. But if they are alone, they don't have the alternative, they don't have the choice. So this is 1 point. They work in dollars. We work on a multi-currency base. So in terms of risk, we tend to take a lot of decisions that protect us from this. They, generally speaking, they don't have this problem. They can impose a dollar in the purchases and, of course, in the sales. So all in all, they are not exposed to India. Or India, for example, which is our fastest growing business, that already this first quarter is growing double digit, India has a 15% EBITDA, as you probably remember. This is a fantastic result, but is below our average profitability. They are not in India, which is the country of the future, probably. So I think that the best combination is the combination of these two companies. So I think that this acquisition will go far beyond our expectation and will give us an absolutely strong position in the United States, and we are going to find a lot of area of profitability. But clearly, they were owned and managed by investment fund that targeted the best the maximum profit in short term to sell the company. We are a company that we are targeting a long term leadership.
So very, very, very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Giuseppe Marcella of Exane BNP Paribas, please. Go ahead.
Good evening, and thanks to take my questions. I have two. The first one is on the EBITDA margin expansion you delivered in Q1. Actually, if we look at the Forex impact, it looks like the expansion is mainly linked to the natural hedging on the Forex, while organic decline is basically very close to the top line decline. I would have expected some initial contribution from integration of the acquired companies. Do you see this in the coming quarters? And the second one is on your headquarter, because you are increasing the size and complexity of the business, in particular after the recent acquisition in U.S. Are you planning any recruitment at headquarters? Thanks.
Thanks, Giuseppe. Let me answer the second question. I think that with this acquisition, we are going to substantially simplify our complexity, because we have made an acquisition in one country and in a country in which we needed to upgrade the level of the management. We have signed a retention contract with the top 5 managers of the target, which are the CEO, sales and marketing, purchases, administration, and operation. All of them have signed a retention agreement in which, if they leave the company before 3 years, they will lose their investment, because they have put an amount of money as a warranty. So it's a strong commitment, and in the same time, we have agreed with them on our business plan in North America, and they have substantial bonus on the variable side. So we are not going to recruit anybody. I would say the opposite. I tend to believe that the merge of two companies of similar size with the same business and same customers will generate some synergies, maybe not in the top level, but for sure in the middle level, substantially. And then, if you look at the targets that we have acquired, I think the numbers are self-explaining. This management knows their job in the United States, so I think that it's really accretive in terms of level of management for Fila. And for example, even myself, I can focus more on European and Eastern operation because definitely in the United States, I think we are in a very safe harbor now. For the first question related to EBITDA, I leave Stefano to comment with the figures. But let me remember you one point, and this is an accounting point. When you build up stock from the original supply chain, original means with all the plants open, with all the warehouses open, you build up safety stock to shut down. The value of the stock reflects the cost that you had. Now we have closed the plant and the warehouses. So when we restart the production, we are going to restart with new cost. So clearly the effect of the reorganization are, spread during more quarters, because the level of stock that we have increased have been built up by the plant in UK, by the finishing the paper that Thaler had in stock until November 2017, and that was bought by suppliers. The same for Canson, that in order to certify our internal production has increased the stock of raw material to be safe. So all the product that we have in stock have been produced at old stock. So clearly you don't have an immediate positive impact.
About Giuseppe, I don't know if I catch exactly your question, but you say exactly
that's fine.
Okay. Do you need additional explanation? It's okay.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
There is no question at the moment.
Okay, thanks to everybody for all the questions, and we are available also for the future when you need an explanation, and thanks again, and see you soon in the next meeting.